Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Take it, Marvin. Your host, James, joined by Melissa.
Hello.
Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Whole another hour to hang out and have some fun and get into some weird topics. We will get into a little bit later.
So we haven't had weird enough ones already today.
No, yeah. Wait, that's what we do around here.
Bring on the weird.
Yes. Oh, that's a tagline right there. We got a new Gen Z phone habit that might make your life a little bit better. We'll get into that in a little bit. A new AI device that turns your dreams into videos. I want to touch about that.
Oh, please,
one
too. No.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like a horror movie to me.
Yeah.
Sounds extremely boring to me, yeah, but okay.
No, yes.
We don't have my dreams.
We will get into all of that, and I also want to take some time to talk about August and the big August we have in front of us here as stations with us and WIRI and everything. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about some of those events. But talk about a big event that happened over the weekend, the Happy Gilmore 2 release on Netflix.
All right.
The Happy Gilmore 2 just set a new record for Netflix. It had the biggest U.S. opening weekend ever for a Netflix original movie. It got 46.7 million views over 3 days.
Not bad.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
If you're wondering how it's being received by fans, it's currently has a 70% rating on Rotten Tomatoes and 61% with critics. The success also boosted numbers for the original Happy Gilmore, which made it to number 3 on Netflix's global top 10.
Of course it did. Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, that is really cool.
So I finally saw it the other day, and I'd been waiting to see it and finally got to see it. And I wanted to talk to people that grew up with the movie, I went to high school with, and that also know it. And I just reached out to a couple of friends of mine. And I did talk to some others about it, too. And I want to credit my friend Marissa about something she said that I thought was really noteworthy about it. That I never thought about this with movies and sequel. Obviously, it's been like 20 years since the original and everything. Well, you know how I feel about spoilers, everybody. I'm not going to spoil anything. But I do think one thing that would have... I understand why they didn't do this. But one thing I think would have been helpful is reminding the audience it's been 20, 30 years.
Yeah. Mm.
And this, to me... is a little bit more of a serious, a little bit more of a darker almost, a dark comedy almost, a version of Happy Gilmore. It's not, Adam can't be that guy anymore. I don't know if he can. I don't know if it would work in today's day and age. I don't know that comedy would work in this day and age. And she had the note of, well, maybe that's the way they should do sequels. They should wait 10 years or something like that in between them and everything. And give these characters, give these actors, give these writers a chance to really hone in because I loved it. I loved it. I thought it was excellent. I thought it was perfect for the times. I thought it actually showed a lot of the growth of a human being and how they can grow as a person and all that. It was hilarious. There was a ton of funniness to it. Mm-hmm. There was also some really heartfelt moments to it and everything. Mm-hmm. There were some moments that I thought, oh, I want to watch this with my kids. There were some great moments there with that.
Cool.
And I thought that was a really good note. I never thought of that before. Mm-hmm. We're so, the money-making machine that is the entertainment industry is so anxious to, oh, God, we can't let audiences, we got to hit on this now. Oh,
they mustn't forget about it.
We got to make 20 avatars. We can't make just one. We got to make 18 Smurf movies. Avatar, whatever they want to call it. It's Smurfs to me. That's all Avatar is grown. All Avatar is grown-up Smurfs.
Grown-up Smurfs.
That's all it is. How much better would these movies be if creatives were in control, if artists were in control and they were like, you know what?
Right.
We'll get our money. Mm-hmm. We'll get our money. It'll come. Let's go ahead and give this some time to breathe. Let's flesh out a good story instead of just being so quick to throw it out there. Just real quick. Everybody knows how many sequels and there have been in history and all that. There's been a billion of them. Off the top of my head, I can think of 3 or 4 that were good trilogies. And even in those, one of them was,
kind of a stinker, yeah. Right? Not just as great as the others.
I would say that the Dark Knight series is one of my all-time favorites. That one even had one that was a little iffy. The Matrix series. I love the Matrix series. A little iffy there at times. But if they had taken time to really flesh those out and really given a couple of years in between, even 4 or 5 years in between, maybe they come up with a better story. Maybe they really hammered this out and like, you know what? Now we're ready. Mm-hmm. Tom Cruise bet on himself with the Top Gun movie. and not only waiting to release it and waiting to come up with a really good story, but waiting until they could be released in theaters. And look at how they were rewarded for that. Mm-hmm. And I don't like to give that man too much credit here or anything, but it is noteworthy. It really is. And I got to stop saying noteworthy. It is really... It shows better work.
It's worthy of note.
Just turned around a little bit.
There we go. I think that it's something to think about.
It's interesting, too, to me. One of my favorite series is Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that the second one was kind of meh. Mm-hmm. But if you look at it now, like, it actually has a lot more relevance in a way.
Right, right. Now, that one, it's a great one to bring up, because that would be in my top ones of my favorites of all time, and mm-hmm. ones that I think were great. I think they did a good job with those. Part of what I thought worked for them was that they filmed the second and third one back to back.
They did.
That they kept everybody under contract, and they just basically, we're going to bunker down and film these and get these done.
Well, because if you are going to do them, you should do them quickly in a sequence, but you need to have almost the whole storyline before you start.
Yes, yes.
And that's not something like... Fast and Furious enters the conversation.
Right.
I mean, yeah. You know, like they've made, and I can't really knock them because I haven't seen them all. I watched maybe the first two or three. And how many are there now? Nine?
They're going
10?
Yeah, there's 11? 10. I think 10 or 11. Yes.
Like, come on.
Yeah, yeah. And as somebody who has watched every one of them, yeah, that story is not, I don't even know if they fleshed out 1 to 2, let alone, you know, when Tyrese is going to the moon in a car. In a car they made. Like, that's you know, the thing that happened.
The only thing that really, really worked with it. But these were based on books. Weren't the James Bond movies all based on books?
Yeah.
The original series were. They did not hew very closely to the stories, though, because the books, if you read them, are much darker than the movies were. The movies were more kind of flashy things, you know, like in the stunts, you know, and the action.
I think that worked for the time period, though,
right.
Of what movies were in that time period.
Yeah, exactly.
They actually probably were a little darker than most of the movies in that time period.
And I think of the ones that make sense to me about, like, you know, doing it all at once. The Lord of the Rings made a lot of sense to do all the movies at the same time, because you have the story, right?
Right.
You know how it ends, everything, you know, just working on all the stuff in between kind of thing. And so that one makes sense, but... I don't know. Maybe there is something to that. You know, it's funny. It's interesting, James. You mentioned about, you know, creatives being in control. I just thought of something that just kind of really took me aback a little bit. It's like, wait a minute. You know, so say a project goes bad, you know, and then everyone starts pointing at everyone else. Right. It's like, oh, that's because the studio, you know, came in here and ruined everything. And they're like, no, they didn't do what we told them. It would have been better if they hadn't have done that. If creatives are in control, they have to take complete responsibility for it.
Yeah.
So if it's a real dog, you know who to blame.
Yeah.
Right.
I would like
so
that.
You have to do it both ways. The credit for when it's good. And if it's not good, well, guess what? It was you. It was all your vision. So,
I like that.
Yeah. Makes more sense to me.
Well, and I think that the idea, because it's the gap between, we talk about this with sports all the time. I it's a subject I will not let go of because I want us to have our eye on the ball when it comes to this. The difference between ownership and players and fans and what owners want and what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Owners want to finish in the black. Are there owners out there that want to win a championship? I'm sure there are.
Yep.
But the majority of them are more interested in finishing in the black.
Right.
They're more interested in their business being profitable. Players and fans are much more interested in winning championships. Those two worlds do not mix. They are not fitting. You have in the entertainment industry since the dawn of film, you have the producers who have the money. They have the power to be able to put these things out there in the creative world. The producers are worried about making money. Mm-hmm. The creative world wants to create art. These two worlds do not mix. It's a subject that I think we need to keep much more of an eye on going forward.
Sometimes it works accidentally, but like you said, that's just happens occasionally.
It's a fluke.
It is.
If you see it, love to know what you think. Everybody, reach out to me. I'm curious, and I don't want to undersell the funny in the movie. It's hilarious. It is a very, very. It's an Adam Sandler movie. It's hilarious.
No, there you go.
I really enjoyed it. I liked it. I'd love to know what anybody else thinks out there. We're talking old school video games now. Given all the time Mario has risked saving his life to save Princess Peach, you'd think that there might be more to their relationship, but no. It turns out no. According to a recent update on the Nintendo Today app. Quote, Princess Peach and Mario are good friends and help each other out whenever they can. Not even, that's just where it ends, right there.
Yep.
There's no word why Nintendo is making this announcement now, given that they presented Mario and Peach as a couple in the past. Or have they?
Have they?
I played all of those games multiple times.
Right.
We're talking Super Mario, Mario Brothers 2, Mario Brothers 3, you know, all of the above and everything. I played Donkey Kong back in the day. I know Mario way back. I see Mario at the Italian meetings. I need to ask him about this. So there's another subject, a storyline that I love, and I've loved it for my whole life, and I see so little of it represented, especially in TV. But every once in a while, you know, it's even rare in movies and everything. For every billions of rom-coms and will-they-won't-they storylines, I love when you see every once in a while a man and a woman, and they're just friends.
Yeah.
That's it. No will-they-won't-they or any of that stuff.
Why does the princess have to be with the hero?
Right.
This is a subject I love so much that it is a part of the blueprint of the morning show. It is something that I talked a lot about with Melissa about in your first interview. It's something that is important to me. I don't have anything against those morning shows out there for many, many years where it's a couple and they're doing their bits and, oh, Harold forgot to take out the garbage and everybody laughs and all that stuff and everything. But there's plenty of that. We do not have hardly any representation in pop culture of man, woman, just friends. Mm. No will they, won't they, or any of that stuff. The less we have of that, the more likely we are to have of it in society. I have had plenty of women as friends. And trust me, they had no interest in me. I'm just trying to make a joke. But that, it's something that it was just not there. And even when it did come up in some circumstances, we found out very quickly, no, we're just friends. It can happen. It's a thing. It's weird that we don't cover that subject at all. And then we wonder why men and women have difficulties at times coordinating, communicating, or any of that stuff.
Yeah, and also have difficulties with... jealousy of women. I'm hesitant to be friends with men because of having been burned in the past by other jealous women. It's like, no, I have zero interest in him that way, but all right. Like, if you want to be mad at me, I'll go.
I like that this is an example. This could be an example of that, especially to young kids that are playing these games and they're like, okay, they're just friends like that going forward. And I will say, from what I know a little bit of relationships from younger people when they talk about them in improv classes, this is all I know. they get this. That's a lot of how they're approaching these things.
Well, the other thing, too, is that the partnering in society is such a big pressure. Even, you know, like it happened to me as a kid, but it's also happened to my nieces this weekend at the family campo. Mm-hmm. My oldest niece, the first thing she's like, yep, first question, do you got a boyfriend?
Yeah.
It's like, why is that such a push on our young? I mean, she's 13.
Yeah, seriously.
I experience that at every family get together.
Yeah.
So
who are you with?
Yep.
Myself. Having a good time.
Am I not sufficient?
When are you going to be like your brother? I get that. Oh. I get that. It's something. You're right about it. You're right.
Society isn't built for single people. Let's be real. It's more expensive to be single than it is to be in a partnership.
Right.
And that's
with or without children.
Mm-hmm. It's also, I have to say, as much as I played these games, I never thought about their dynamic.
No.
I don't think I ever really...
No, either. I thought more about their costumes.
Yeah.
Like, which one do I want to be? This time I want to be the pretty pink dress.
We need to address the elephant in the room here, and that is not Mario and Princess Peach's relationship, but what is Bowser's deal with Peach? They even, like, specifically, it's in the movie. Like, he's trying to marry her.
Oh, is that what's happening?
Yes. Yeah. Why?
I didn't know.
That's weird.
I mean, you know.
He's a giant turtle dragon thing.
Yeah. I don't understand what him and what he would have to do with it. You would think he'd want another turtle dragon. You know? I mean, that's what you would think.
It's very strange. It's a very weird thing.
Opposites attract.
True. That's true.
Although, I'm not.
Different species, though. It's a little where I draw the line.
I mean, they're all animated characters, though. Let's also keep that in mind.
Might have put a little too much
on thought. On the other side, we got Jack Black's Peach song out of it, which is hilarious. True. We gotta go with that. So
I have always been more concerned with the security in Princess Peach's palace. I don't know what's going on
there. Yeah, those toads are just falling down on the job, man. You know,
maybe it's time to like up the game a little bit, spend a little bit more on security. Because you got a big turtle dragon that just walks in and takes you anytime.
Just walks in, floats in, and takes stuff, man.
Not cool.
What? I guess I need to watch this movie.
It's an airship he's in. Yeah.
To be, and when you build your whole like world with things that could be broken by the top of your head just smashing into them, that's not good either. That's,
seriously.
But sometimes coins come out.
That's true. You get that. That's a hard way to make money, man.
Ask Mario about that one.
We will take a time out. We're going to come back, talk about some local theater and some local events happening here at the studios.
Peaches, 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 peaches.
All coming up on Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning Show here at WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us. We hope you're having a fantastic Wednesday out there. Happy Hump Day, everybody.
Woo!
Steph and some of the cast members about the Brothers Grimm. The next Hopo production, kind of wrapping up the kids' summer season.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be premiering August 2nd at 7 o'clock over at the WRCT Auditorium. Be sure to check that out. They'll have a matinee on August 3rd at 2 o'clock. Get to that if you can, everybody.
Yep.
Going to be a really fun show. Encourage you to check out the interview at WFHR.com. You can go ahead and check that out along with all of our podcasts are all over there. A really fun show. And they're just so excited about this one. As great as the kids were in the interview, if you could have heard them afterwards and how just just how much fun they're having together and everything.
You know, it's so cool. When we did West Side Story, you know, there was a couple kids there that had not been in theater before. This was their first production. And one of them came here yesterday, TJ, because... Oh. He was one of those kids that was never in it. And now look at that. He's right up next show. He's right in there.
That's cool.
I mean, I love seeing that. It's so cool. It's so much fun.
Yeah. You can't.
Caught the bug.
He did.
Can't get enough of it. We encourage you to take in this show, support these kids, support the arts, and have some fun while you're at it. Get your tickets at wrctheater.org. And while you're over there, why not fill out an audition sheet on Golden Pond? It is the fall production from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. We're very excited about this one. Auditions are coming up next week.
Monday. Tuesday. Do it now.
Okay, you got this.
Fill out your application now.
August 4th and 5th will be the auditions.
Bring it back, James.
I'm going to get get it out of my system. Get it out of my system.
By that
don't
time,
worry. He won't do that during rehearsals.
No. He'll be cool, calm, and collected. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And we're so excited for this one. A big thank you to everybody who has already sent in their audition sheets.
Yeah.
This is not mandatory. You don't have to do that, but it is kind of it's fun to get it out of the way sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you can just come down, have some fun.
You'll have all the information there for you. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to worry about filling it out when you get there.
Come one, come all, no matter your age, creed, race, whatever, anything. It's me casting, so you know it's going to be interesting. And we're going to have some fun with an American classic on Golden Pond, along with, of course, A Christmas Story and Four Old Broads and Father of the Bride. I'm never going to be able to say that, especially Linda's directing that one. I'm not going to be able to say it serious. A great main stage season at WRCT. Get your tickets and find out more at wrctheater.org. And when we're talking local theater, we also want to talk about our friends over at Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater.
Yeah.
I want to say a gigantic credit to the heads, if you will, and the teams over at both of these groups. Now, of course, we are a part of both of these theaters ourselves because we work with and talk to people, have friends in these groups.
Yeah.
And that's been the case really since both of these companies have existed. But people at the top haven't always communicated, haven't always got along and worked together. And we're seeing more and more of that with the current people in positions that can do this now.
Mm-hmm.
A credit to them. A rising tide raises all boats. We've seen this through our nonprofits, where when we work together, we are stronger as a community and stronger, put out stronger work. Mm-hmm. This is how local theater survives. It does it together. And it does it with your support, everybody.
Yes.
Encourage you to check out that interview that we had with Susan and Joe. It was really great.
Yeah, it was great to hear the process. Of course, Shakespeare. Love talking about Shakespeare, one of my favorite things to do. So it was great to hear, especially what I really appreciate about Joe was the setting, you know, and how he came up with the idea that it's set in America in the 1880s. Appalachia where it takes place. He said it was kind of, you know, a Hatfield McCoy kind of feel is what he was going for.
For Romeo and Juliet.
For Romeo
people
and Juliet.
That don't know what they're talking about.
Which totally makes sense. And the idea of doing, that's one of the great things about Shakespeare is that you can transplant it to any time and it still works and it still is relevant. So it's really cool.
Well, and Susan Edgren isn't directing at this time. She's in it, which is also fun. fun because she directs a lot of Shakespeare theaters
in the past. Yeah, mm-hmm.
It is a part of the Schmeekly Shakes. This big event. Well, along with the premiere episode happening, they're going to be debuting on July 31st at 6 o'clock over at the Schmeekly Amphitheater. They will also on the next day, August 1st, they're going to have an opening banquet before to celebrate their 52nd season.
Yes, which is very cool.
Get there by 5 and get yourself some nice dinner and go in and have a real experience. You know, not just taking in a show or being in and out, but you're going to have a real experience with that.
And the other cool thing, they theme it to where it is.
Ooh.
So the food you're going to get is going to be kind of, you know, pork and beans kind of stuff. It's great.
Tex-Mex.
The thought that they put into this is so good.
Yeah. And I do think you need to buy your ticket in advance for the dinner theater.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. Mm-hmm.
So they know how much to make. But
yeah, they do have some available still. So
get your tickets now over at CWACT.org. That's CWACT.org. And a big congratulations to everybody a part of these productions. Enjoy yourselves. Have fun. Mm-hmm. Make sure to attend, everybody. Make sure to get on over to WFHR.com and sign up for that newsletter. We got a new edition premiering tomorrow for you, Melissa.
So they were here to remind you.
I didn't have a Monday this week, so
I'm a little off.
I'm always off, but it's just extra special this week.
We want you to get on over there and not only sign up for the newsletter, everybody, but bookmark the page because it's a great resource not only to stream us usually from there, but
it's been fixed.
It has been fixed.
It's been fixed, and they're on the correct stations now.
Excellent.
Shout out to our engineering team and everybody working really hard on that. We appreciate
you. Thank
you,
Chuck, Sage, and Laura.
Yeah, appreciate all of you guys. Thank you so much. Keep in mind, if you go over to WFHR.com, and that's just WFHR.com, to the side, down over on the right, is our featured shows where you can catch podcasts of The Morning Show, Playmakers, Community Stories, Rapids Report. Of course, all of those shows right there for you, and we encourage you to spread the word about those shows and get them around, everybody. We appreciate you doing so.
Yeah, more clicks, the better.
That's right.
And again, WFHR.com, go over there, sign up for that newsletter.
It's
free. Be sure to do that. I wanted to touch on just a little bit of some of the cool events that we are going to be at over the next month. August is going to be very busy for us. We have a number of different things we've already done the past week or so. And next month, we are going to be at the Rapids Rumble Car Show.
This Saturday.
Saturday. I keep doing it.
It is that. August.
Yeah. Yeah. I love when I do that. I don't know. I hate when I do that. The Rapids Rumble Car Show coming up. We're looking forward to that. We'll get into more details about it very soon, but that is right around the corner. Laura and I are going to be at the National Night Out over at Winterfield.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun. We'll have a little booth over there for that. And by that, I mean Laura will be there. I will be there for like 5 minutes. She's going to be really putting in the work over there, but we appreciate being a part of that.
Mm-hmm. And any of the rest of our team that can stop down, we'll try to be there as well. I think Pam's going to come down after she closes the office. And so we'll see you there.
That's coming up August 6th, August 16th. I will be at the YMCA Bridge to Bridge Run Walk.
Hey. I think we have a couple people participating from here as well that will be in the walk as well. So
it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait. I love being able to be a part of those kind of things. And it's a real humbling thing to be able to be a part of. And then August 20th, mark it on your calendar right now, everybody. We are going to be having a station open house. Woo-hoo! It's our parking lot party.
Yes.
Party.
We did it last year for the first time, and it was such a great success. We're like, we're going to do it again, but it's going to be bigger.
And better.
This time, it is going to be bigger.
I made a spreadsheet.
She did. Just this morning, she created the job list.
But I sent it to everybody this morning after Laura looked it over and checked and made sure I had everything right. And then, I went out to all of you. So you have your assignments, boys and girls.
Sounds good to me.
We are so excited
about assignments.
This.
They're better.
Along with this great event, we're going to be not only broadcasting live on both of our stations back-to-back in remote.
Almost.
End
to end for our event.
Yeah.
We're also going to be inviting the kids down so that they can do some recording and hear themselves kind of in recording through the headphones and some of that.
And we might even play it, some of them, during our live remote at the end on WIRI.
We'll see what we can do,
But the staff cook-off is to me, I'm sorry, that's what I'm real excited about. I'm very excited about this.
So, if you come up with your recipe yet, James?
Yeah. Yeah. I want it to be a surprise. Yeah. It's in the car. It's in the car. I can go get it right now. I don't know what I'm doing yet. I don't know.
There is a deadline for that on the spreadsheet. I'll have you know.
Oh,
make
nice.
Make sure you check.
Okay. It's the desserts. Yeah, it's going to be the dessert off. Yeah, yeah, it's very exciting. Yeah.
Staff cook off, and then the listeners also get to vote. We're hoping to have some guest judges, but we want the listener award too, which we got to come up with a name. What is the name for that? Crowd favorite?
The listener
favorite? Fan favorite. Fan favorite, I think, is work. Crowd favorite, I think that works too.
Okay.
That,
yeah,
everyone, that's good.
Because you get to come here and try the different recipes that the staff is cooking and vote for your favorite with a bean.
Yes. Oh, I like
a new bean voting. Yes.
Bean voting.
The new way. It's the wave of the future, bean voting.
Our station party is also going to be featuring some of our favorite nonprofits and good friends of ours from here at the stations. Yeah. They'll have booths and stuff. And
already had a lot of confirmations, too, which is really cool.
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to have food trucks down here as well. We're going to feed you. A lot of all kinds of great things. We'll talk more and more about this as we get closer to it. But make sure to bookmark August 20th, Wednesday, August 20th. We will meet you here at the studios. We're looking forward to this. Noon to
6. And since it's the day after my birthday, I'm not saying you need to bring presents for me. But it was
maybe a pie to the face.
What? Oh, is that a cut? No, we should do that.
Well, I was going to say, I do like pie. Do I like pie that much? I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that.
It's a pie throwing contest.
Oh, no.
First time in human history, a pie hits the guy's face, slides down, nothing there. He ate it all. He ate it all before the thing even slid away. We will be back after our news and sports break on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio here over 97.5 FM. Hope you're having a great one out there. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Interesting story right here. If using the do not disturb mode on your phone all day, that is something that Gen Zers have been doing more and more.
Hmm.
And this is becoming a bit of a trend, not just with them, but now older people are starting to notice it and everything. More and more young people are using their phones do not disturb mode, not just at night, but during the day also. Hmm. It's a way to set digital boundaries that goes beyond setting your phone to vibrate or silent. Videos on TikTok tagged DND and DND 24/7 are going viral, with Gen Z sharing how peaceful and productive they've felt since changing their notification settings.
Ooh, okay.
Experts say it can help with sleep, improve work performance, reduce anxiety, and make you feel less overwhelmed. And you don't have to come up with content. It's pretty simple to do. If you have an iPhone, go to Settings, Focus, Do Not Disturb. And for Android users, swipe down from the home screen to the Notification Center, then swipe to expand the panel and tap Do Not Disturb.
Right.
Or just wait for your phone to do it on accident. Like mine does all the time. At least my own phone seemed to do it all the time. What do you mean? I didn't get any text. I didn't get any message. Oh, I did. I had it. Oh, sorry.
Oh, geez.
I once went like a day with, I came home from, it was when I came back from California, and I had you're getting on a plane, you got to turn the,
airplane mode.
Mm-hmm. I forgot to turn it back on. I didn't even think about it. Into my defense, I didn't have a whole lot of people texting or calling me back then. So, I don't even know how much I missed.
I was going to say, it was all right. No major emergencies.
Do you notice that more and more when it comes to tech, that we are, it isn't an app that's saving us from these things or trying to figure these things out. It is not necessarily a self-help guru or something like that. We're trying to figure this out and share what we know and share what we're doing that works for us with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I
social experiment.
Yeah, I kind of appreciate that, but I also kind of think that's the only way this will work.
Mm.
It's a group of people. It's not a. When you think about the biggest changes, the big moments in our human history and things that happened, there was this bill that was passed, there was this law that was passed. There are so many other ones that, we just kind of started doing that. It wasn't, this person so-and-so, on this day we announced that this person created this or whatever. No, we just kind of started doing it. we kind of learned to do this and everything. No one person really knows who, this was the father of recycling right here. This was the mother of recycling. This was the person that got us going on this great path that we're on now where we all recycle. Nobody knows that. Nobody has that. Like, there's a lot of those examples. And I want us to take a step back and appreciate that with our fellow human beings, and that we're doing this together, that plenty of people are working together on these things that have no political ties, that all of that. And we're able to make this work. We are not as divided as they make it seem. Mm-hmm. We are not as separate as we seem, and we are certainly more alike than we realize.
Mm-hmm. And we're all addicted to our phones.
Yep.
Good and bad things. What's oh yeah, it's there.
And
we I acknowledge it every now and then.
There's also a part of me though, and this is I will admit the parent in me that is you know wanted to keep my kids for as long as I could and that kind of thing. That is a little sad to me about this that they even have had to figure this out that they've even had to go to this extreme to do these things. I don't know that part of that it's a little bit of mixed bag for me about
yeah,
that.
Which makes sense. Yeah,
but this is an easy solution for people who have notifications turned on for things. Like I actually, when I set up my phone, I turn all the notifications off.
Right.
Like the only things I get notifications for are my text messages. Mm-hmm. And yep. I mean, maybe there's a couple other things, but then when I put it on silent, that's basically, I mean, that is a do not disturb of
yeah.
sort.
Yeah.
Yep. If you're not looking at it.
Right. Exactly.
But yeah, do not disturb also doesn't allow notifications to come through. Is that right?
I don't believe so.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's like, yeah. So like when you turn it back on to, you know, to check stuff, then it's like, then a whole bunch of stuff comes up kind of thing. So.
Maybe if you're popular yeah, or you have lots of notifications.
Or it makes you really sad. Oh, no one wants
no one
to
loves me.
A lot of junk mail. That's what I get.
Yeah.
I guess I'll go eat worms.
My brother, one of I love that. That's my dad's old line. When my brother worked for a cell company, he gave me this little hack about if you ever have trouble with your phone, oftentimes it's a good idea to, especially if you live or work in one, you live in one town, work in another, or whatever. Just starting and restarting your phone, mm-hmm. it'll find the most recent, the closest tower that way,
mm-hmm. oh,
and
yeah.
that'll
yeah.
help a little bit with that. Mm-hmm. Because he told me that, I've done this a lot where I've turned my phone off, turned it back on.
It's always good to reboot some every now and yeah. then.
And sometimes with doing that, older phones, I don't know about any of the newer ones, but it would start off on D&D.
Yeah, which is interesting. Yeah.
Sometimes. And yeah, I don't know. I'm interested to see where this goes and what other techniques, what other things we do to try to help ourselves.
Protect ourselves from technology.
Because anything is better than what I saw the other day about an app that helps you not be on apps.
Yeah, I remember that one.
The one that makes you go out and touch grass yes, before you can play your game.
It just, yeah. We'll see where that goes. We'll be following along to see. Everybody.
Of course we will.
We're all, one of the topics that we touch on quite a bit is AI, artificial intelligence. I think that we have done quite a good job as a team covering that subject and covering all the bases of it, the good, the bad, the gray, all mm-hmm. that. With that being said, all of that we've done without losing our minds and panicking, oh my God, AI is falling from the sky and it's going to take over and it's Skynet and somebody get Arnold on the phone, wish him a happy birthday, and you know, get him some sunglasses.
Yeah, right.
A group of tech nerds in Amsterdam came up with a new gadget called a dream recorder that turns your dreams into videos.
Ay, ay, ay.
Wow.
Doesn't actually scan your brain waves. You have to remember your dream, describe what it was, and then it turns your description into a video.
It's a dream journal.
Okay, should we try this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all definitely. Right.
So I had a dream last night that I was in a theater production. And it involved dance of some sort. There were stairs, there were slopes, but all of the actors were in wheelbarrows. And there nice. Were, yep, so I was in a wheelbarrow, and we were in rehearsal, and the person pushing my wheelbarrow, like, we were right on the edge. Like, I was pretty sure we were going over.
Yeah.
But it was right on the edge, and then, you know, we got our choreography done, and then when we were finished, and we were up backstage, I was like, okay, I promise I'm gonna lose some weight before we get to production. And the guy that was pushing my wheelchair slapped his very flat belly and said, well, we could all do that.
Okay, AI, take it. And go.
This sounds like a piece of performance art to me.
It does. It does sound a little bit like
that. I think we should write it down and actually try to put it on stage. It sounds interesting.
Wheelbarrows.
I love them in wheelbarrows. I love that as a new form of theater.
Yes. And that the theater, there was the stage, there was a definite edge and there were no railings.
Here at the World Wheelchair Theater, we have tried some more avant-garde ways of doing everything from Hamlet to Oklahoma all in wheelchairs.
I love it. Love it.
That one dream, Melissa, is more interesting and creative than anything I've dreamed in the last 20 years. The last dream I had, I'm not joking. I'm not exaggerating. What I remember of the dream, I was making myself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And it was taking forever because the peanut butter was, there was just a little bit left in the jar. And I'm trying to get it out of there and I can't get it out. That's it. That's it. That's all I dreamed.
Sleep of the innocent, I guess.
And guess what? Just for an added treat, black and white. It's in black and white, which I'm told you're not even supposed to be able to do.
Oh, but no, there's a large percentage of people who dream in black and white. And then there is a large, you know, there's a definite split there of people that do and people that don't.
My life has been weird and odd. And I really think that by the time I get to dreaming, my dreams are just like, we're done, man. We are done creatively. You use our imagination so much. You're on your own, man. You're on your own.
Yeah, I was gonna say, here, let's just do something simple here.
Like,
yeah.
Like my writers.
Silent movie, black and white.
My writers could not be phoning in my dreams more. They have no interest in giving me anything interesting.
That's a bummer because I dream in color, but I wish I like black and white. I like black and white. I want it to be, but it's not. They're not. They're in color.
Come on, brain. Can't we have a black and white dream sometime?
Yeah, come on. Just give me one.
This device is slightly bigger than an alarm clock with a screen on the front that shows colorful low def clips of your dream. All the examples that they shared look more like an acid trip, honestly, but of course. It is
colored
a little...
low def clips.
It stores a week's worth of dreams. They say it's meant to, quote, meant for, quote, reflecting on the meaning of your dreams as they echo in the waking life. The good news is it's somewhat affordable. The bad news is you can't buy one. You have to build it. They claim it's not that hard and posted a shopping list with instructions.
There you go.
Whoa.
It's built on top of an AI video app called Luna, and they say that that total will cost you about $300, but it's
pretty expensive.
Yes. Yeah. Once you get done with that, it'll be about 15 cents a dream to make these things, create these things. So once you get done with the overall big spending, you know, then
how much is your... to spend.
Right.
How much are your dreams worth?
And it's not as if you're really, I mean, for every person that's going to use this and everything, there's other people who are going to use it and just what they've always wanted to imagine. Isn't this pretty much like video games in a lot of ways where you create a character and you go into an open world and do whatever you want?
Isn't there like an AI picture generator thing there's film generators?
There's a lot of them,
I also could just buy a notebook to write my dreams down in journal.
And
$2.
On top of all of this, you have, and this is science, this isn't my opinion, everybody, you have a night, in a typical night of REM sleep, you are going to have anywhere from 100 to 1,000 dreams, and you are going to remember bits and pieces of each and one, some of them, and the others you're not going to. Mm-hmm. The ones that you have right closer to in REM sleep are the ones you remember, the ones you don't are outside of that. But none of what you remember, the moment you wake up, 5 seconds later, is accurate. It's not, you may be remembering dreams from years ago because we don't know because there is no science to this yet. We are still trying to figure this stuff out.
It's all connected to memory and memory works the same way.
I would love if this was cool and true and all that. I think it'd be a pretty cool day and age and everything, but it's, I mean, not happening.
Until our brains are hardwired, which let's pray that never happens.
And I'm not just saying this because Matrix, I have boring dreams.
Or it could be
spice them up a little bit.
Because James has boring dreams.
Yeah, I do like the idea of the Matrix through my brain, though. It's just so, wow, this is really bland. This is very... I didn't even know you could make that shade white. Wow, it's blank in here. We will take a commercial break, come back, and have some more fun on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, 97.5 FM, locally grown radio. We got some local things going on in town we want to get to going on today and throughout the rest of the week and into the weekend. But before we get right into it, I do want to remind everybody that free meals will be made available to all children 18 years of age and under at a couple of key locations over at Lincoln High School at 1801 16th Street South. You can head on over there until August 15th. Breakfast is served 7:30 to 8:30, lunch 11 to 12:30. Mm-hmm. At Mead near the Splash Pad over on 14th Ave, they're doing this until August 15th. From 11 to 12:30, breakfast for the next day will also be provided.
Cool.
And at Winter Park over on Chestnut, you can do this until August 15th, 11 to 12:30. Breakfast for the next day will also be provided with that. Nice. Meals are provided to all children. And if you have any questions, please give them a call or reach out to them through email, schoolnutrition@wrps.net, schoolnutrition@wrps.net. Big thank you to everybody that's a part of this that makes this happen. Mm-hmm. And to all of you for spreading the word about this one. I had somebody tell me that they had a listener tell them about this.
Good.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you. We want to make sure our kids are fed.
Absolutely.
And we are getting down to the final, last 48 hours, I would say, maybe even 24, to sign up for Stuff the Bus.
Yes. Hey.
Make sure your kiddo is registered, and they got those. They're going to be ready to get those, receive those school supplies. Mm-hmm. Sign up, get yourself a good time, and keep it up. Keep getting spreading the word about this one too, and make sure that we have everybody registered.
Yes.
And that way Terry won't be mad at me. I'm telling you, if you guys don't do it, she's going to get mad at me. Please, uwswac.org is where you can go to sign up for it, and of course we encourage you to, if you can, pick up some supplies to get to these kids. Mm-hmm. We're looking of her backpacks, notebooks, folders, both of those plain colored, markers, glue sticks, scissors, colored pencils. Monetary donations as well are also greatly appreciated. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we are a drop-off point for that. We have a box here in the office, and you can just bring them right on down. We're here at the roundabout.
Come by, say hi to Pam, drop something off in the box. We appreciate you. There are a few opportunities to impact the future like this does. Mm-hmm. And so as simply as this is, pick up some supplies and drop them off, everybody. And again, you can go to uwswac.org to find out more information.
Yes, indeed.
I almost forgot. It's Wednesday, isn't it, everybody?
Yeah.
Wednesday means...
Bingo.
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 Ognib. Ognib. That's bingo that backwards.
It is, but that's not how you win the game. Wow, James, that was impressive.
I was trying really hard.
As he passes out.
I broke my voice.
The Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge has bingo at 430 West Jackson Street tonight. It starts at 6:30, but the doors do open at 5. So make sure you stop on down. Get there early. Grab your table. Get ready. Bingo fun. Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge.
All right.
And on over there for that, everybody check it out. And got another great event going on that we wanted to touch on.
The Buckley Baldwin VFW Post has a pancake breakfast this Saturday, August 2nd, from 7 to 10. It is open to the public. It's at Emmanuel Lutheran Church Fellowship Hall, not at the VFW. So it's Emmanuel Lutheran Church Fellowship Hall, 1517 24th Street South. It's open to the public, $10 for adults, $7 for ages 13 and under. You get buttermilk pancakes, sausage links, juke, which is juice and milk together.
Yes, it is.
With
That's
coffee.
That's exactly what it is.
And it's from 7 to 10 this Saturday.
We're going to try it, though. We're going to market it. She came up with too good of a name. We got to make that.
Come on, they make dirty sodas, which is just milk and soda.
I love it. You got something there.
It's different.
You copyright that.
Have you ever had a creamsicle?
Yes, and I hate them. Anyway, that's why I'm like, yuck. Anyway.
We're making that, Melissa. That's what we'll serve at the party.
Oh boy.
Have fun with that.
And thank you again to our friend Tom giving us a heads up on that one and everything.
Tom.
We appreciate it. Seth had something else I wanted to make sure we touched on.
Of course, the Rapids Rumble Car Cruise is happening on Saturday, everyone. But it's not just going to be the car cruise, which starts at 5 o'clock. Of course, there'll be stuff going on all day long, starting at 8 a.m. That's where the crew staging area is up at MSTC at Mid-State, everyone. And if you want, you can just participate, just drive in, but there's also going to be a judged show as well. You can participate in that. Trophies will be awarded for the best car, best truck, and best overall. There's going to be food available for purchase from four local nonprofits. We'll be serving burgers, brats, beef sandwiches, ice cream, soda, water, whatever you want is going to be there. The Grand Rapids Fire Department will be parking vehicles and selling tickets for a 50-50 raffle. And then the crews will leave MSTC at 5 p.m. and end at the Grand Rapids Lions Park. They will have a local DJ there, more food and drink as well, and no parking fee down at the Lions Club as well. It's going to be a full day of all kinds of great stuff. We will be there. We'll be playing some tunes for you, and we'll be having a live broadcast on WIRI from 1 to 3. So tune in for that.
going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it. We'll meet you there, everybody. And Seth wanted to remind everybody about what you got going on in your neck of the woods with the Moravian Wisconsin Rapids and Moravian Church, a rummage sale and brat fry.
Yes.
The perfect Wisconsin day.
And also on Saturday from 9 to 2, we'll be serving brats and burgers in the parking lot. And then I think it's going to be outside in the front, of course, weather permitting.
Yeah.
Outside in the front of the church will be a rummage sale. It goes from 9 to 1 o'clock. So
nice.
Head on down. Of course, the farmer's market will be going on as well on Saturday morning. So head on over there. You can hit the rummage sale, then you can get a brat or a burger on your way home. What a morning or what a day for that, right?
You awesome. Started at the Emmanuel Church with pancakes.
I mean, your day will be full of food.
And then you got to go to the Rumbles car show for dinner.
We got you all set. And we got you set today. Be sure to join us for two new episodes of the Rapids Report at WFHR.com. We'll talk with Promise and the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce and some of the events they have coming up. And we're going to be talking about Wisconsin Rapids PD's National Night Out that we're going to be a part of. And then Playmakers a little bit later today from 4 to 5. We Speak Sport over on 105.5 WYRI. Join us for that. Michael Comer and I are going to be hanging out talking a little sports.
Very good.
And being your tailgate for Rafter Baseball that is happening right here at 97.5 FM. 5:50, our pregame will kick off as the Rafters take on Madtown. Matt Allard's hopefully getting a W and some bragging rights for us around here, Melissa.
Yes,
coming up for you.
And so I can rub it in a Parker.
Matt is, the Rafters are back at it. On Thursday, they will have a later start time, 6:20. They'll be hosting Lakeshore. And, of course, on Friday doing so as well, we'll be talking more about some of the things going on over there. Great show today, you two.
You too, James.
Be good to each other out there. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.